got mail.
Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the World Wide Web. How you guys doing? We're super excited to have you joining us today for another phenomenal show. Yes. Let me tell you who is going to be joining us, who's going to be hanging out with us in the virtual studio today. So my first guest is hanging out right now, actually, in the virtual green room. So I know she's enjoying some virtual snacks while she's hanging out over there. It's Richmond's own Giselle Foster. I am super excited to have her back. Listen, she is an actor. She makes us proud. She represents Richmond, Virginia well. She has had several high-profile jobs, such as being on the hit ABC primetime show, What Would You Do? She's been on 7 episodes of that, most recently on Investigation Discovery's True Crime. I'm telling you what, she is doing big things locally. You saw her in a lot of productions and stage plays and all that good stuff, theater. So we're going to catch up with her and find out what's been going on in her world. She's doing things really to impact girls and ladies and women around self-esteem and how all that kind of goes with the industry and entertainment and all that good stuff. So that's our first segment. And then in our second segment, we're going to be chatting it up with Mark Smith, and he is a former pro wrestler. He's a former pro wrestler, and he's going to talk to us about his book, The Last One, Last Hurrah. He's going to talk to us about his book, and I'm telling you what, how his life turned all the way completely around. He was in some dire straight situations, and he was able to overcome loss, overcome a lot of different things, and One Last Hurrah is his book that he's going to talk to us about. He's now a youth pastor, youth minister, and I'm telling you what, you want to keep it locked right here. So hey to all those that are tuning in, that are coming in on the phone lines, we see you. Hello, those that are hanging out in the chat room, we say hello, welcome. We're glad to have you here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. So listen, this is what I want you to do. Jump over to Twitter. Tell them what you're listening to, twitter.com/Charvette. Go ahead and tag me if you want to. And Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. And if you're on Instagram, instagram.com/CharvetteM. That's where we're hanging out online. So, again, let's go ahead and jump right on into our first segment. I love interviewing people from Richmond. I don't interview a lot of people from Richmond, believe it or not, even though we're broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond. But I'm really delighted to have Giselle Foster back by popular demand. We're going to tell you about the first time that she was on the show and just get caught up on all the great things that she's doing. Again, she represents Richmond, Virginia mighty well, although she is in New York City now, and we're excited to have her on the show. So we're going to the virtual studio and grabbing her and bringing her up to the mic right now. Giselle Foster, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be back.
Oh, we are glad to have you back. And, oh, my goodness, talk about a month of Sundays have passed since you have been here. You've just been doing so much. So I actually want to backtrack a little bit for some of our new listeners. Let's talk a little bit about how you got into theater, into acting, how all that the acting bug bit you.
Oh, man, I have been acting for as long as I can remember. I was definitely one of those kids putting on shows in my mother's bedroom. And finally, she decided to put me in theater classes in school. And it definitely streamlined my energy and gave me an outlet and a way to express myself. And I did everything. I did cheerleading and step, but theater was always my favorite.
Wow. And so what did you like most about theater? I hear a lot of actors say kind of the immediate gratification. Was that it for you, or were there other things that you liked?
Well, it was really, for me, getting a chance to live other people's lives and getting a chance to experience things that I would never experience. And especially when you're young, when you're acting, you're usually playing people who are older than you, and you get to experience stuff that you just haven't been a chance to touch on in your own life. And then as I've grown older, I've also gotten a chance to play a lot of different roles. One of the roles that I just finished, I got to give birth, which I do not have any kids, so that was an amazing experience. And I've had a lot of things like that happen, and I just love being able to experience the lives of others, and I feel like I'm very good at tapping into that when I just talk to people, because that's my job, to be able to relate to people in that way.
And so how difficult or how easy maybe for you is it to get prepared to learn all those lines?
It's so funny because that's like one of the first questions people ask is like, how do you learn all the lines? And to be honest, that's like the least amount of work. You learn the lines because you have to, and you have no choice. You have to learn the lines. And I have a lot of different tricks that I use to learn the lines. One of my favorites is writing down each sentence as an acronym and learning it that way, because our brain picks up acronyms a lot faster than sentences. But that's not at all the hardest part about acting. It's actually one of the easiest parts.
So what is more challenging?
For me, it's separating myself from the role. If I play a role for a very long time, I get very connected to the character that I'm playing. And sometimes I've even experienced me having a conversation with somebody, recalling something, and it wasn't something from my own life. It was something that I played. in a show. So it's kind of hard to separate myself afterwards. So that's why I'm really careful about the roles that I pick, because I want to make sure whatever I let in is something that I'm okay with being there.
Ooh, that is so critical, because I always wonder when I see actors take these roles that are really, really deep, that really, really, really take them to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder, and I heard, and I hope I don't, I think it was Jack, the gentleman that played the last, not Batman, but what's the sinister character?
The Joker?
My goodness. Yes. Okay, so the first gentleman, and I can't think of his name, I think it was Jack, the first one that played that role, he said it took him to such a dark place that he it was so difficult to play. So I always kind of wonder how people, are they conscious of that, number one, and number two, how they get up out of that. So it sounds like you kind of try to head that off from the path.
Yeah, but the crazy thing about that is when you're playing someone who society would see as a bad person, you have to debunk that automatically. You have to figure out why what they feel is valid and why they're justified in everything that they do. So even getting yourself to that point can be difficult, because you can't look at the person you're playing as a bad person. Bad people don't think they're bad people.
Ooh, all right, listeners, y'all are getting some tips early on if you are looking to go into theater, into acting. Listen, we're hanging out here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're talking to, my buddy that's back, my popular demand, Giselle Foster. I'm excited. Listen, I'm going to go back, because I remember my first interaction with you, and I definitely got to give a shout-out to Tara Jones. Writing plays and putting on plays in the capital city of Richmond, and I would go and I would be a vendor, and I'd have a vending table to promote my web design business, and you were there, and you always really just kind of stood out, from the crowd, and I was like, wow, she's really going to take this somewhere. And so what was it like, kind of those plays in Richmond, and how, just getting to act with other people in Richmond, how was that for you?
Oh, it was amazing. I got so many opportunities in Richmond, especially from like Tara Jones with Redemption and a lot of other local theater companies let me come in and just take over. It's been amazing. I've acted with a lot of companies in Richmond. I've directed. I even was on tour with Theater 4 for 2 years. And in the midst of that, I got a chance to create with a lot of different people and learn how to work with a lot of different people, which has been so beneficial. I went to VCU for theater performance, which has completely shaped my career.
Woohoo! VCU Rams! alumni right here. Stand up. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, awesome. What were some of the roles that you played with Theater 4?
Oh, okay. So Theater 4 was a children's touring company, and we went all around the United States, as far north as Maine, south as Florida, and west as Wisconsin. And my favorite role that I played with them was Harriet Tubman, and it was amazing. And I got to go into these beautiful theaters, and they would bus all of the kids into the theaters, and I would just share this woman's story. And at first it was very scary, but I got to a point where I just felt so privileged to be able to share it. And we had a talk back at the end of all of these performances, and hearing the children so confused by the history was a beautiful thing, because some of them didn't even understand why there was the separation that there was, and why there were the issues that there were with Harriet Tubman and slavery and all. So it was just a very beautiful, touching experience for me. That was my favorite role that I played with them.
Oh, wow. How impactful. How really impactful. And so time moves along, and what was the catalyst for you that said, okay, I've got to go to New York? Like what took place that said, I gotta do this, I gotta make this leap of faith?
Well, I always knew that I needed to go, and I needed to either go to New York or go to LA. And to be honest, I wanted to go to LA more. I had lots of family in New York, and I knew it would be very safe for me if anything happened being up there with family. And that's just kind of what made the decision for me. And I took those 2 years while I was touring with Theater 4 to save up as much money as I could so that I can make that move and do it blindly, so to speak.
Wow. Okay, and so tell us about the opportunity that you received to be on ABC's primetime show. What would you do? How did that first come about?
Yes, so I was in school with VCU, and we had our senior showcase in New York City, and I had a manager come to our showcase, and he liked me, and he was like, hey, I want to send you out on a few auditions. This was one of the auditions he sent me on. I auditioned for them the first time, did not land the role. The second time I auditioned, it was very funny because it was a role for a mother, and the age range was about 35 to 40. So when I got there, I was very confused because I was like, I am 22 years old, and I am not at all in this age range. And there were some women there who looked at me and was like, hey, honey, what are you auditioning for? And I'm like, the same role you are. So it was very funny. And because of that, I was such in a mood to play. I was like, well, I'm here anyway. I'm going to have a really, really good time, because I came up to New York just to audition. So I went in the room, and I had so much fun, and I got cast from that audition into that role. And What Would You Do is a hidden camera show, so they strap your body with mics, and there's cameras all in front of you on the street, and the only people that know that you're acting is your one partner. Everybody else you're interacting with has no idea that you're acting, and you also have an earpiece in, which the producer and John Q is in your ear telling you what to do. So there are so many things going on at one time, and it's such an adrenaline rush, and it's so exciting and so amazing.
And so did you ever have any experience in those 7 episodes where you thought somebody was going to punch you in the face or do something crazy like bodily harm to you?
Yes. So the biggest one, I can't really share because the episode has not aired yet, but it's going to be amazing.
We're going to keep our eye out for that.
Yes, please do. It's in a store. That's all I can say.
Okay, listeners, there you go. We gave you a little bit.
And the one that I can share, I was playing a nanny, and I was abusing the child that I was taking care of. I was yelling at her, and I was very angry with her. And the gentleman came up, and he was in tears. That's how angry he was, and he was yelling and screaming at me. And we have security guards there, and at that moment, my security had came so close to me. I was very terrified, but I had to pretend like, you know, everything was okay and I'm acting the role and everything. But it was very scary. But it's also wonderful because after the scene breaks, John comes out and explains what's going on. They get that level of relief. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I'm just so glad that wasn't real.
And
the guy that I'm actually thinking about actually had, like, a wedding coming up, and me and him became Facebook friends, and we talked all the time. He was just so moved by it. And it really reinstilled your faith in humanity, that show.
Wow. All right. So when can listeners view that, or can they go back and see past episodes?
Yeah, that episode that I'm actually talking about is actually on ABC Go right now. So if you type in abc.go.com and you go to What Would You Do and you scroll all the way down, there is an episode, and I think it's called Abusive Nanny is the name of it. But you'll see me in a white T-shirt and a jean jacket on the cover of the little icon. And that is the episode. And you can go check that out right now. It's still online.
All right, listeners, check it out, check it out, check it out. Okay, so let's talk about this most recent, the Investigation Discovery's True Crime. So that just aired. Tell us about it. Yeah, how did you get that connection?
That was just something that I self-submitted for online. So we have a lot of different actor websites where you can submit yourself for something, and it was really that simple. I just sent something in, went into an audition, and when I was filming it.
Wow. Just 1, 2, 3, just like that.
Well, not just like that, but yeah.
We just kind of simplified it for them.
Yeah.
But you know what? That brings up a good point, because there are people, I'm sure, that are listening in saying, well, I want to do this. I want to act. What are things that people need to have in place before they even go into an audition?
Yeah, so depending on the level of audition that you're going in for, you definitely need a headshot and a resume. But then there's a lot of theater people who are just getting started, or production companies that just want you to be ready to work and ready to learn. And if you are just getting started, that's the best place for you to go, because those people are willing to and have the time to invest in you. Once you get to a certain level, there is no time for creativity, because the clock is running, money is time. You definitely need an open mind. Acting is definitely from the family of play, and you have to be able to have fun, and you have to be able to play.
All right, you have to have fun, and you have to be able to play. Hey there, listeners. If you're just tuning in, welcome. You're checking out the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world wide web. Big shout-out to all those that are listening, hanging out on the phone lines, in the chat room, coming in from Twitter, coming in from Facebook, coming in from Instagram, coming in from LinkedIn, coming in from Charvette.com, and all of our broadcast stations. We say, hey, you're checking out Giselle Foster. Right now, we're chatting it up here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. All right, so I definitely want you to talk about your mission that you are on, I'm going to say, really to impact women of all ages, girls of all ages, around self-esteem. So talk about Worthy by Design.
Yes. So Worthy by Design actually started as a youth empowerment program that I was doing in Richmond, and I have just seen so many teens and young girls in a place of, you know, they just need conversation, they just need someone to talk to. So I created a program that's very theater based. It's devised theater based. We do a lot of writing, a lot of debating, a lot of reading from where things were written. So we would have a heated discussion right from there, and then read it from the place of anger or the place of sadness that it was written in. And it was amazing. I got to work with a lot of awesome youth. I actually did it at the Boys and Girls Club in Richmond and a lot of other places as well. And then I moved to New York, and I started to do it again, and my acting career kept taking me away from it, and I felt very irresponsible because I was leaving these girls in the middle of doing it, which broke my heart. So I decided that I needed a way to still reach people, and I wanted to widen it up and also reach women as well instead of just young girls, and make sure that I can touch these people while I'm still pursuing my acting career. And that is where WorthyByDesign.com came from.
And so this is intriguing because the entertainment industry, the entertainment field is so focused on looks and appearance, and it's very challenging. I know that your role in any of the acting that you do, is it can be challenging because it's so based on looks and appearance. And so then you have this dichotomy almost where you're dealing with a self-esteem to kind of say, you know, forget what other people say, you know, live by your design, nothing else matters. You know, do you kind of see a struggle anytime with that?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Just to give you a little bit of insight, I've had a manager take my headshot, which is the picture that we send casting to cast us, and took a magic marker and drew on my face, showing me why I wasn't cast. Mm. So I've had a lot of instances where they're so interested in product, where they're not treating people like people all of the time. And then outside of that, being an artist, there's so many other things that I have to do. There's so many other jobs that I have to do at the same time in order to maintain a living. And the most important thing that I've realized is nothing matters more than your mindset. Because at the end of the day, if you're not happy and if you don't feel fulfilled, nothing else matters. There's very basic things that we need to make sure we take care of. You know, we need to make sure we are fed. We need to make sure that we have a roof over our head. But a lot of the things beyond that, we choose to do and we don't want to do.
Oh, wow.
And I believe that should never be the case. I believe in making sure that everything you do in the day is something that is fulfilling something within you. And you can go down to the very basics. Yes, you going to work, it's fulfilling your need to eat. And then beyond that, it should be feeding you as a person.
All right, listeners, there you go. That's good, sound advice. And you better have your right mindset and work on having the right mindset. In particular, I mean, you are the voice of experience. Anytime you can sit and have someone take a magic marker or Sharpie and draw on your picture, you know, and even though you may be listening saying, well, I haven't had that experience, we all faced things that kind of dig at us or have taken a ding, if you will, at our esteem or whatever it is. So you definitely have to have some strong gusto and can't be jelly back, I assume. So listeners, jump over to worthybydesign.com. worthybydesign.com. You actually even have a free offer for them. Tell them about the free offer. Yeah.
Yes, so it's a free mini course. So it's basically an introduction into what I'm doing, and I really want a place where my readers and audience can understand what it is that I'm saying, and I'm going to give a little short explanation of that. I know plenty of women who love forcefully for everyone in their lives, like parents, our mothers, people who have children, they are forcefully loving their children. Even our friends, we forcefully love our friends. If there's anything that our friend says they want to accomplish, we make sure they do that. We do that for our children. We even do that for our job and our bosses, and we don't really care about that. So the important thing is to turn that forceful love that we have back on ourselves and make sure that we do things not because we want to, but because they're good for us, and because in the end, we will benefit from those things. And it might be hard implementing those things at the beginning, but you have to be forceful about what you want and be unreasonable about the life that you want to live. And the ebook is all about taking you through that process, a guided process where you answer questions, and it's definitely like a workbook. You answer questions and you figure out where your focus should be, and you get to do a checks and balances to see if that's what your life is about.
Oh, what a great offer, and it's complimentary. It is complimentary. So, listeners, you can just jump right on over to worthybydesign.com. I've put it in the chat room. Also, if you're on charvette.com, my blog post about Giselle has the link in there, so you can connect there and get what you need and stay connected. Is that the best place for people to find out kind of what's going on with you?
Yes, and I also have an actor's website, which is just my name. It's just Giselle GiselleFoster.com, and I'm all over social media. My actor's name on social media is Giselle Squeaks, and then my company name is Worthy by Design on all social media.
All right. Are there any shout-outs or people you would just like to thank, you know, for, I don't know how often you do interviews, but I always like to have maybe a space for you to give any shout-outs of gratitude of any people that maybe have been there, helped you along the way?
I want to give a huge thank out to all of Richmond. I have had a lot of support here recently with a lot of the things that I've been going through, and Richmond has really helped me out. Just to mention very quickly, I had lost my apartment to a fire, and I had so many people from Richmond, the whole Richmond community, reach out and made sure that I was able to stay in New York to follow my dreams. So I just want to thank everybody from Richmond, and I don't want to call out names because I'm going to miss anybody. I just want to thank Richmond as a whole. I am representing up here for y'all. I appreciate all of the love.
Oh, you're doing well. So, Richmond, we're just giving you one big applause and a shout-out. Shout out there. So my last question for you, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and we want to know what continues to motivate you.
Children, I love working with youth, seeing the point in life where you really feel like anything is possible is such a beautiful thing, and they're at the point where they have not been told what's not possible, or they haven't been thinking about their limitations, and I am just so inspired by children and the way they live and the way they're in the moment and the way things are so important and the stakes are so high for them, and I feel like that's how we need to live our lives.
Well said, well said. Well, Giselle Foster, it has been great just keeping an eye on you and just having a chance to chat with you. We're going to just keep this connection because, listen, when you're on the red carpet, I want to make sure I'm there with my camera crew. Hallelujah. So we'll be going up together. How about that? Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for stopping by the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right, listeners, guess what? We're going to take a very quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back with my second segment. I'm telling you, you don't want to move. You don't want to go anywhere. I'm excited to have Mark Smith joining me. Oh, my goodness, former pro wrestler, now youth minister, has a book out, One Last Hurrah, and I'm telling you, you want to hear about his experiences and what he has done, how his life has been transformed, and how he's helping people. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back. Don't you move.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Spiritual Food for Thought. 31 inspirational quotes to jumpstart your day by LaTanya Boyd consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 inspirational quotes to jumpstart your day. Available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.latiboyd.com.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answer no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.Mitchell-Productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
Hello, we are 123jobzone.com, an online job search portal. We are user-friendly, and if you're searching for a job, with us, it's easy as 123. Step 1, go to www.123jobzone.com and register as a job seeker. Step 2, once registered, upload your resumes. Step 3, get connected with employers looking for people like you who are ready and willing to work. Don't forget to follow 123 Job Zone on Twitter and Facebook to find out more about our upcoming job fairs. What are you waiting for? Stop by 123jobzone.com today. Good luck with your job search.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back again to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Super excited to have all those that are tuning in and listening in from all across the world wide web. Really excited. Our first segment kicked off there with Giselle Foster, one of Richmond's own, now in New York City, certainly pursuing wonderful acting career and all of that. And we are excited we got a chance to catch up with her to see what's going on in her world. So listen, we're moving right on in to our next segment. My guest is hanging out in the virtual green room. I am going to be bringing him up to the mic right now. I'm telling you what, a pro wrestler loses his family and he is told in the hospital that he may not live through his next match. He's alone, but then finds the cross. Wow. Yes, yes, yes. Going to the mic. Coming up to the mic right now, we have our next guest, Mark Smith, joining us. Hello. Welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Well, hi, Charvette. Nice to see you. Well, I shouldn't say nice to see you. Nice to talk with you. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing today?
Well, except for about 30 concussions and needing a knee replacement and a few other injuries, I'm doing absolutely fantastic. Thank you.
My goodness. Listen, my mother just had a knee replacement done early April, so, and she's going through physical therapy. So, listen, I understand what you're talking about. Hey, Mom, I know you're listening. Love you.
Hello, Ms. Mitchell.
Yeah,
all right.
Yes. Let's start from the beginning. So, pro wrestler, how did that come about for you?
I was an idiot. I laugh at myself. No, look, a lot of people, they write all these exposés about wrestling and everything. Wrestling was good to me. I wrestled with Ric Flair, all these guys. I worked with World Championship Wrestling back when Ted Turner owned it. That was just a few years before it was bought out by WWE Vince McMahon. And virtually, I was not one of these guys that walked in and knew someone already in the business or was related to somebody. I actually was one of those guys that, and I did not go to a wrestling school. I actually walked in one night after a show, looked at a guy in a ring, and I said, I want to know how to do this. So he started beating the tar out of me. I started beating the tar out of him. When he realized I could take it and I could dish it, he said, huh, kid, I think you got something. And then I started getting trained. And working small shows. And then I get a call one day saying, I need you to be in Cleveland. Well, I'm thinking, I'm living in Atlanta, Georgia at that time. I think they mean Cleveland, Georgia. I'm going, okay, I'll be up there in a couple hours. And they said, no, Mark, this is World Championship Wrestling. We want you to come to Cleveland, Ohio tonight. Come by and get your plane ticket. Come to CNN Center. And it was a simple matter of a phone call. I worked my tail off, shed a lot of blood, broke a lot of bones, kicked off a lot of people in the crowd, which I was supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
And but also kind of sold my soul in the process. And but I did it. And it's really allowed me an avenue to talk to other people, especially teenagers, young adults, and you'd be shocked at the 50 and 60-year-olds that look at me and go, gosh, I remember when you were in the ring, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So it's just been a neat way of being able to communicate with people.
Wow. And so here you are today, family and author, What was the turnabout for you? What kind of altered your life?
Okay. I came in. I was working for World Championship Wrestling when I had days off. I was a security guard. I was at one point, I was the bodyguard for the head football coach of Georgia Tech during their home football games, the Yellow Jackets. And I walked in one night, and my wife at that time looked at me, and she said, "I'm done." And she had been my valet for a couple of years, and I thought we were doing good, but, mm-hmm. I mean, we were doing the drugs, the whole bit. We had really kind of just let the wrestling environment swallow us. Instead of us being normal people who wrestled, we decided we were going to become the prototypical wrestlers or the stereotypical wrestlers. And in doing that, anything that came about, we tried it. And she just looked at me and she said, "I'm done." And all of a sudden, I realized I wasn't God. And that's kind of a hard thing to do, is to realize that you're not in control of everything. You're not all that. And, you know, I laugh at myself now because I was stupid. I laugh at myself. I mean, I laugh at my mistakes. And, but you know what? I thank God for everything. I mean, Charvette, just think, if everything had not happened the way it had happened, I wouldn't be on the radio with you right now, right?
Absolutely. Our steps are ordered, right? Every step is ordered.
That's it. Might as well laugh and have a good time while we're doing it. And so I will make jokes of myself and everything, uh-huh. all the concussions. I will probably lose track of something I say, you know, whatever the case may be. But, hey, don't feel bad for me. Laugh at me. And we'll just have a great time. Okay?
We'll have a great time.
Why not?
We will have a great time. And so I love your website says, "Don't give up. God opens doors." That's like, you know, right, hit you right in the face. Talk a little bit about that, you know, not talking to people about not giving up and, you know, allowing God to open those doors for them.
Well, right now, I think looking on TV, we see a lot of people giving up.
Yeah.
It just breaks my heart. I'm really glad to be on your show. You know, it's funny. I looked you up to see exactly where you are. And you said Richmond's owned, and I looked you up. My family's uh-huh. planning on doing a vacation in D.C. in about 4 weeks. And so maybe we could hook up and say hello. I'd love for you to meet
yeah.
my wife and everything. What was your question? Help me out.
I love the quote on your website.
Oh, don't give up. Okay.
God opens doors.
Right. Well, the thing is, Charvette, is when I walked away from wrestling, I was completely lost, and things happened that I just happened to step into a church. Things happened. For instance, I was getting stopped by dozens of people I didn't know in different places. And they would just talk to me about ministry. God's given me a word. After a while, I got tired of hearing from God. I mean, really.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it spooks you. You know, people
uh-huh.
talking to you, stopping you and saying, "Hey, I have a word for you." When anybody said they had a word for me, I was ready to run.
Mm.
And then one night, I met my wife. We've been married 23 years now. And we're sitting beside each other in church. And I just make a little prayer, "God, if I'm going to be by myself, just let me know. Let me know what's going to happen." And this lady that I swear to you, she was 145 years old. She was old. I mean,
uh-huh.
really. She was probably pen pals with Abe Lincoln. Anyway, I mean, really. This is no. I'm not exaggerating. I promise you. She, you know, I'm sure she was in the crowd during the Gettysburg Address. But anyway. This lady taps me, and I can't even say the color of her hair. You know, people go gray, and when they get really, really old, we make fun of them and say they've turned blue. This girl, this woman was past the blue. I don't even know if that color's been invented yet. And she taps me on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. She said, son, I have a word for you. And right in the middle of church, I'm thinking, oh, crap, not another word. I can't deal with any more words. Please. She said, son, what you've been praying about, your answer is right beside you.
My God.
Yeah. And then I turn around and, yeah, exactly. We're married. We have kids. The pain, the knee surgeries, everything, I'm falling apart. And I get to that point where I'm looking in the medicine cabinet, and I've told my wife, I said, I can't keep going on. I'm hurting too bad, and I feel like I'm a liability to you. I'm ready to die. And there were several days that she would go actually to the church to work. And she'll tell you she didn't know if she was going to come back and I was going to be dead because I felt like I was such a burden. Mm. Well, I made a couple phone calls, and all of a sudden, me and a guy that we went to church together developed a little electronic circuit. All of a sudden, Charvette, I'm talking in front of defense committees at the Capitol. I'm talking in front of United States Special Forces because they want to take that circuit and they want me to develop a new hypothermia system for United States Special Forces. And this all happens within a year. And I'm thinking, I don't even know anything about electronics, and I'm devising something to save the lives of soldiers. And then we go through that. And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting here, and I'm having to get injections in my back two or three times a year to actually kill parts of my spinal cord to lessen the pain. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know what? The only thing I have left is my story. So I start writing it, and I keep writing. And this is a guy with, like, 30 concussions that's got brain damage. That, you know, I've already once lost, I had to ask you to, you know, repeat something.
Right.
And I sit down and I write a book in 90 days. Well, it goes out. And I just found out the other day, not a lot of hard copies have been purchased. But all of a sudden, we get word that these books have been selling on Kindle. And I'd forgotten that we had put it on Kindle. Well, anyway, all of a sudden, it's getting bought on Kindle. We realize, gosh, we've been selling books. I get a call from a publisher 2 weeks ago. We want a second edition. So we've got one that's going to be coming out soon. I sat down, and I wrote, on the average, about 2,500 words an hour. This is a guy with brain damage. And it's going to be called Wrestling with Demons. Because it was me. Part of it is... are the inner demons that we all fight and the inner demons that I fought. And a couple of movie producers saw the book. And so I actually may be getting an email while I'm talking to you about a movie producer. I've got several that said that they're thinking about taking on the story, and I'm supposed to hear from one of them tonight, so I may actually scream in just a minute if I get an email.
And we'll scream with you, Mark.
Yeah, so we there. So I mean, you know, there you
talk
go.
Talk about God,
you know,
opens doors. That answered my question. That right there.
This is one other strange story, and then I'll very quickly. My wife came in and saw the movie. She had gone with the youth 2 weeks ago with the youth of the church to see the movie Do You Believe? Now, I'm not going to mention which star she was talking about, but she said, Mark, in the movie, this star should be you. She looked up the guy and told me the guy's name. It's 11 o'clock our time. We're in Central Time Zone. We're in Tennessee. I call the agent. I go, you know, and I say crap sometimes. I was thinking, what the crap? This is going to be a blow-off call of all time, and I'm just going to laugh about it. Well, I call him. He says, Mark, send me your information. I send him the info on the script. He writes me back, by 5 o'clock the next day and says, we're interested in doing it.
Wow.
So I can't name the talent because they're not under contract yet. But the thing is, that is the way this crazy stuff is happening. When I talk about doors, I really mean it. And right now, our country is at a point where there are some doors that really need to be opened.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get done talking, I would like to talk to you privately for a second. I think you and I can do something together. Okay, Charvette?
Sure, absolutely,
so,
absolutely.
Anyway.
Wow. So the one last hurrah. How did you pick that title?
Well, what happened was I first was thinking about legacy. My dad, I grew up in a home where there were fist holes in the walls, and my mom was the stabilizer in my family. My dad, I did not know it till later, but he was beaten with chains as a kid. So he had a lot of anger issues. I would get punched. I mean, my brothers just got the snot beat out of them. And, but we reconciled. We all reconciled. My dad died of cancer. One of my brothers actually buried my dad with a shovel because he had no money.
Mm.
And you don't hear of that much anymore. But
right.
we went, you know, people are eating their chicken dinner. My brother and I go out, we take our ties off, and we get a shovel, and we're crying and burying our daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got me thinking about legacy, one last hurrah. But then, as I was writing the movie script with someone, we were getting together, we were writing the script, we realized that there were two last hurrahs that I've had. About 7 years ago, with all my knee surgeries and everything, a little wrestling company called me in Texas and said, would you come help us with our guys? They need to know how to do stuff old school. And, you know, that's probably another show. We're not going to have time to explain what old school wrestling is and everything. But
uh-huh.
I go and I help them out. We do a little angle or a little storyline where I get 5 minutes in the ring with a guy that ripped my daughter's autograph book. Of course, it was all planned out. But I get in the ring, and it's the first time that my children have ever been able to see me live in the ring. There are videos out, all this kind of stuff with me on it, but they've never seen me live in the ring. I actually took off my belt, and I whipped the guy in the ring. He ran out of the arena. The crowd got him, picked him up like a mosh pit, you know, like they would pick up somebody in a mosh pit, brought him back, dumped him in the ring. I got my pin on him. I looked at the ref, and I said, I can't get up because I was too crippled.
Mm.
The ref helps me up. As he goes to raise my hand up, I stop him, and I call my family into the ring, and I raise my kids, my wife, I raise their hands up because they're the real winners to me. And I looked at my wife because of the fact for 5 minutes I was not a has-been anymore to my children. They could see their daddy in the ring. I looked at my wife and I said, the demons are gone. And I was able to walk away. And that was my one last hurrah.
Wow. And so the book is a memoir that kind of takes people through some of these things that happened in your life. And you said they can pick it up on Amazon, definitely by Kindle. How else can they purchase the book?
Well, Amazon, Kindle, MicroPress Books has it on their website. I also encouraged probably 7 or 8 pages throughout the book. I feel like everybody's story is important. So what I did was I put down a question per page so that really by the time that they read the book, which is a couple hundred pages, they could have about an 8 or 9 page diary. So the book would also include their story. And I really encourage parents to do this. There's a lot of things that are unresolved with parents and kids, and sometimes the parents just can't get around to telling the kids. This would be a way for them to write it down, to let the kids know, this is why I'm the way I am. And also, you know, fighting the inner demons. And one thing I want to talk to you about privately, but just saying right now in America, I'm sick about what I'm seeing, Charvette. I'm sick because, you know, I'm sorry, but when people are shooting people, I don't care what color. I believe red, yellow, black, and white, we are precious in His sight, okay?
Right.
But when people shoot each other and people are tearing into each other's stores and they're stealing and they're doing all this and everybody seems to be doing it to everybody, I'm sorry. You cannot blame generations past. Each individual that does that has it in their own mind, in their own soul, whether or not they're going to steal from a brother or a sister. Our country's in trouble. No more laws, I don't think, will do anything. I think Jesus may be the answer.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, why aren't these big-name ministers getting up and talking about love or going to Ferguson, going to Baltimore, going to New York and having community crusades? They're not doing it, and I'm ashamed.
Well, there are some. I will give shout-out to Pastor Jamal
Give a shout-out. Who is it?
Pastor Jamal Bryant, who is
okay,
in.
Okay, I don't know.
He's pretty well known, and I will say that he has, in the Baltimore area, was there day one working in the community. So,
well,
but
fantastic.
I can understand your point of you wanted to see more.
Well, I mean, okay, look, I've worked Franklin Graham Crusades, okay, as a counselor. Mm-hmm. I've seen people of his stature talk about ISIS and talk about all this stuff. Why can't we, whether we're white, whether we're black, whether we're whatever else, why can't we join hands and try to look at the way we're similar instead of focusing on the ways that we're different?
Absolutely, because we're more alike than we are different. We are more alike
exactly.
than we are different.
Exactly. And the book, you know, Fighting the Inner Demons and finding peace and God opening doors. You can open a lot of doors with love that you can't open with hate. And I think we as a country could open a lot of doors. I'm talking about people loving each other again, people, you know, what happened to the unity after 9/11? What
right.
happened to that?
That's
and
true.
And it's sad. So, I hope people do get the book. I want them to get the book because, look, I'm up front. When we look at ourselves, sometimes we don't like what we see. And I'm telling you, I'm not a pretty guy. You've seen my picture, Charvette. I'm not pretty, okay?
Uh-huh.
So when I look at myself, I don't like who I see, okay? I wish I was Matthew McConaughey, and I'm not, all right? But you know, the thing is unless we look at our shortcomings, we don't grow. And, you know, we become stronger when we understand our weaknesses. And that's what I did through the book. My book is not one where I'm looking at people and I'm blaming them. I'm accepting mm-hmm. responsibility for everything. You know, I laugh and I tell people, and it's the truth, the most liberating thing that ever happened to me was the day I could admit that I was a screw-up. Mm-hmm. I mean, really,
yeah.
think about it. And right now, you know, I just hope the listeners, I hope they'll, you know, not look at it as, oh, gosh, this book, I don't know. I don't want to look at those parts of myself. I would say, look, get the book. Liberate yourself. We're not perfect. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect, but we are forgiven. And that's the big thing, is that we're forgiven through Christ.
All right.
And let's laugh at ourselves a little bit. It's okay. You get what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, don't be so uptight.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Laugh at yourself. One last hurrah. You want to pick that up, listeners. Mark Smith, I'm telling you what, shout out to you. And I know that you work in youth ministry. Do you just have really a strong passion around the youth?
Well, I did youth ministry for years and years, and where we had, well, yes, to say yes, because when you deal with youth, you deal as much with the parents as you do the youth, if you mm-hmm. do youth ministry properly, because it should be a family ministry. And so it's really surprising the number of people, families that call us, and this is no kidding, Charvette, they'll call us and say, can our child come and stay the weekend at your house? Can you find mm-hmm. out what's wrong? And then we get together and we talk about it. And I don't know why I'm able to do that. I promise you, I don't know why or how. You know, I don't know. Maybe the wrestling helps. I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But every church I've ever ministered through youth ministry or family ministry, I've had a normal growth rate of 400-500%. God's always blessed it. I've always been the type of person that says the church is a hospital for hurting souls. The doors
yes.
are open for everybody.
Wow.
And you know what's amazing? Some church members don't like that.
Hmm.
They don't.
Well, what do they think the church is for?
I've actually had a church tell me they were upset because they were growing too fast.
Oh, my goodness.
They weren't comfortable.
Oh.
They saw these new folks. They weren't comfortable.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One youth group I had, I walked in first week. There were four kids. At the end of the year, there were 40. They weren't comfortable anymore.
Wow.
It's just, you know, or I had 50 or whatever. But, yeah, you know, and so I'm not surprised, you know. You see everything that's going on in the country. You know, mm-hmm. we as the church, and I include myself as part of it, maybe we've fallen a little short. Maybe we've gotten a little complacent. Maybe we have forgotten that the church is supposed to be a hospital for hurting souls.
Yes.
And the altar is not a place where people go to show that they have problems. An altar is a place to go where you're showing people that you know where to find the answer.
Yeah, that's a great perspective, and I agree with you. We need to shift back. Oh, wow. All right, so my time is running out. Look at that. My last question for you, Mark. The goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and we want to know what continues to motivate you.
I'll tell you what. Number one, I feel like all of us have the opportunity to leave things better than when we came in. And sitting on our behinds doesn't help anybody. Let's get active. Challenge yourself. People laughed at me when I told them I was going to wrestle. People laughed at me when I told them I was going to Capitol Hill. It's okay to get laughed at. But challenge yourself. Be open. Don't put God in a box. And you know what? I love to see miracles happen because when my son was dying of a blood disorder, Parkland Hospital in Dallas called us. After months of treatment, nothing was working. They didn't even know what was causing it. They called us one day and they said, "We don't know how to explain it to you, except we have to use the word miracle. Your son's going to live."
My God. Sounds just like God to me.
So, hey, to motivate people, if we sit on our behinds, we won't see God work. Get out there, do something positive. Love, you'll experience love. You'll find out what life's about. But you got to be willing to take a step and go forward.
All right. Well said. Take a step. Take a step. How can listeners get in contact, connect with you online?
Sure. If you would like to email me, now I'm going to tell you, we are a love ministry, love offering based ministry. If we go anywhere, it's usually through love offering. Okay, we're not one of these people that charge megabucks. You get what I mean?
Right.
So our email, it's our family. M as in Mark, B as in Brenda, J as in Jessica, A as in Ashley, A as in Austin, S as in Smith. mbjaas@gmail.com. And we, you know, like I said, we're coming up to D.C. in about 4 weeks. And, Charvette, I'd like to talk with you. Maybe we can arrange and do something together. You get what I mean? And
yes.
I think it'd be great, and I think our country needs it. They need to see different people from different backgrounds get together and show some love. And I think we need, maybe this would be an opportunity. I had no idea you were in the Richmond area until about 45 minutes ago.
Yes, sir. I am in Richmond, Virginia. Wow, wonderful. And your website, I want to make sure they have your website address as well.
Yes, One Last Hoorah Web. It's the name of the book, www.onelasthoorah.com. All you got to do is Google Mark Smith, One Last Hoorah. And if you want to get a good laugh, go to YouTube. A bunch of my matches have come up. You can look up Mark Smith, NWA for National Wrestling Alliance, or Mark Smith, WCW, World Championship Wrestling, and you will see me get thrown around like a true professional, and you will get a good laugh. I'm telling you what. If you think your feet are hurting tonight, watch me get thrown around for 5 minutes, and you'll feel so better about yourself. So go ahead.
Thank you. Listen, that's big, great. Listeners, put your hands together. Mark Smith, One Last Hoorah. Check it out. Check it out. Charvette.com. I have a blog post there about them. And, Mark, again, it's been great chatting with you. And we will connect after the show. And I thank you so much for coming on.
Charvette, you're awesome. And you got me so excited with the lead in. I wanted to hear myself. So what can I say? You motivate.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks a bunch, and all the listeners love you. Y'all take care, okay?
Thank you. Listeners, I'm telling you what, that's going to be a wrap for today's show. Oh, my goodness, we started the top of the hour out chatting with Giselle Foster, Richmond's own, now in New York, acting and all that good stuff. And then we wrapped up here with Mark Smith. I'm telling you what, author, youth minister, you can just hear motivator, all of that. Charvette.com, if you jump over there, I've got their websites and their beautiful pictures and all that, and you can see all that that you need to see. I do want to give a shout out that I will be participating with the Richmond, Virginia RVA Women and Girls Symposium. Yes, that's taking place Saturday, May 23rd, 12:30 p.m. I'm a panelist, and this is sponsored by CIRCLE, which stands for Community Involvement to Remain Connected and Lead Effectively. This is a free event. This is targeting ages 12 and up, women and girls 12 and up. It's free. It's going to be at Huguenot High School right over on Forest Hill Avenue, 12:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. There's panel discussions. Oh, my goodness. There's 8 different engaging workshops. There's a photo area. There will be the high school's queens will be there. The cheerleaders will be there. And then expert panelists, and I'm happy to be named among them. So, again, that's Huguenot High School, 12:30 p.m. Saturday, May 23rd, RVA Women and Girls Symposium. Big shout-out to Jermika Pegram, who is the sponsor of that. Jermika Pegram and her organization, CIRCLE, is the sponsor of that. So I wanted to make sure that you knew that. And if you're there and if you plan to attend, make sure you walk up and say, hey, I heard you on the radio, or I've seen you on Facebook or Twitter. Make sure you do that. All right, listeners. That is it. It's going to be a wrap. We're going to talk to you guys later. Bye.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Signing off.